Welcome back
to Almost Fameless. Famies, there's a lot of drama going on in the world. In entertainment and just the dumpster fire of the earth.
Yeah.
And it's like, it feels insane to even talk about pop culture news.
It's hard. This is hard. It's hard to like, because on the one hand, where are we all headed? But on the other hand, I think it's nice to have these little breaks, these like bits of levity.
Yeah.
When the world is literally falling down beside us.
Yeah. And it's our job to provide that levity.
God, we're heroes on the streets.
We're heroes. We're healers. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about It Ends With Us. Believe it or not, we didn't cover it all in Fun Cut Friday. And if you have not listened to last week's Fun Cut Friday, we did drop that on the public feed because we broke down It Ends With Us. We didn't want to put that behind the Patreon wall. So if you didn't listen to that, you didn't realize it was free, go listen to that. We talk about the Taylor Swift, Blake texts mostly, and the emails to like their famous friends.
Oh, boy.
So get caught up there. And also you can get a little idea of what Fun Cut Friday is. It's fully unhinged fucking craziness.
It's fun. I love doing it.
It is really fun. And I'm like, why is this so fun? Is it just because we're like fancy free?
Yeah, we don't have to worry about editing. We're like, all our inhibitions are gone.
Yeah. So we are going to do, believe it or not, there's more. So we're going to get into more of that. I just saw something today. I'm like, I can't. I've already done the story. I can't add any more about Blake's driver.
He's going to get deposed.
And then we're going to break down all of the Queer Eye drama. We're going to get into the traitors drama. We're going to talk about Meghan Trainor's pregnancy through surrogate, Kanye West in the Wall Street Journal, and this Hillary Haley Duff sister feud that's going on.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in, shall we?
Let's do it.
The water's warm. All right. So I'm going to start with Ryan Reynolds' email to Colleen Hoover.
Okay.
Because it's just absurd.
That's kind of where we left off, I feel like.
It is kind of,
the story left off on Friday.
Yeah. Should I just read this whole email?
Go for it.
Okay. All right. Let's fucking do it.
Because I was so glad you said this because I'm exhausted from this story. And knowing that you are going to research it and then break it down for me, it's like, I'm still plugged in, baby. That's the beauty of this show.
Okay, so here's the email. Colleen, I'm sending you literally every form of congratulations under the sky while jumping up and down and rapidly happy clapping. At one point, I was 3 feet from you at the after party, but I wasn't able to extricate myself from the Sony Studios chairman's mouth. I'm still in here and a little shocked I have service. Holy fuckity fuck. You guys really pulled it off. Like, Colleen, this thing is on fire everywhere, and audiences have wrapped both arms around the film. You and B made something gorgeous out of ingredients you didn't ask for, which is what makes you both and this whole post-production team so clutch. I heard you guys got a tummy bug and you're stuck in New York. I can't think of anything worse, although it might be your body ridding itself of any residual Baldoni. I'd rather be puking in a gulag than hijacking performative feminism while practicing personal growth catchphrases in the mirror. I hope you're taking a moment to enjoy this. I know the road isn't always easy or clear. When you're a creator and apex storyteller like you, I can imagine it takes a very resolute mind and heart to process all the strange people with muddled intentions trying to warm their hands on your light, like I'm doing right now in this email.
I was just gonna say.
It's like, my guy, come on. What's happening this weekend with It Ends With Us is a victory lap and a testament to fortitude. You created a world people wanted to experience about a subject that's hard to talk about. Flowers. Just kidding.
I was like, he did not say flowers.
You and Blake opened the movie adaptation higher than most films with budgets 5 to 6 times larger during a movie season that was about to give up on female-led films, as if that's a genre or something. This is a proving point that audiences will show up for a film if it's good. A lesson the industry learns and forgets in perfect concert with the seasons. What a complete fucking win this is. I know we all breathe rare air. I realize how lucky we are, but I also know how genuinely good you and B are. And seeing good people put shitty people over their knee for a good old-fashioned pants-down spanking in the supermarket is a special experience I don't take for granted.
Wait. What? In the supermarket?
I think he's likening them owning Justin Baldoni in their own minds to a child getting reprimanded in the supermarket.
Okay.
Put shitty people over their knee for a spanking is he's just likening it to a kid.
Wow. So he supports corporal punishment. Fucked up.
Exactly.
Fucked up, Ryan.
You both trued up this whole project on and off the screen. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. Made it true. Colleen's like, it was already true-ish.
Yeah. You two are thoughtful and intentioned and relentless, and it's the same tender grit and humanity which created not only a world-renowned novelist, but the engine that got this film to here. I could literally write you 85 more paragraphs eulogizing what this all means to me. This whole team rallied and delivered. Even Sony stepped up in ways I never imagined. But mainly, I'm just incredibly proud and inspired by you and B. Hope you're feeling so much better, and I can't wait for us all to celebrate in person. And if you feel like getting some fresh air, we have a whole beautiful empty cottage an hour out of the city. It's the perfect place to unplug from the internet's digital anxiety system. Lots of love, your Rai Rai Pie.
He did not sign it, Rai Rai Pie. Brooke, don't fuck with me. He didn't sign it.
He didn't sign it.
Okay.
He didn't. He just ended it, lots of love.
Honestly, I don't know which one's worse.
Yeah. And Colleen replied, sorry, this went to my spam. Just kidding. I don't know if she replied. I didn't see her reply. But speaking of Colleen, an email that she wrote to Sony was also unsealed. So this is all this stuff is coming out because a bunch of texts, emails were unsealed, blah, blah, blah. So she wrote an email to Sony on July 14th, 2024, before the It Ends With Us premiere.
Okay.
And she wrote, am I going to be comfortable if Justin is there? No, things are beyond uncomfortable at this point. I don't know what else that means, but Isabella Ferrer?
Who's that?
She was an actress in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And she was deposed about the filming of an intimate scene that I guess involved two teenagers, which I'm like, what was that? Because I don't remember that being in the film.
I don't remember either.
But in the deposition, this actress said that Justin commented on the scene being hot. And Ferrer said it didn't feel appropriate in a work environment and didn't feel like a note about her acting. And she said it was just out of place and personal. And then we get into the Jenny Slate texts.
Yes.
Jenny was also in the movie. She played Baldoni's sister, Justin's sister. And in her text, she wrote, this has really been a disturbing shoot, and I'm one of many who feel this way. And Blake and I have both complained directly to Ange, who is, I guess, the production executive at Sony. And they agree with us, by the way. Justin is truly a false ally, and I'm unwilling to do anything that promotes the image that he's crafting as a quote-unquote male feminist. Like, honestly, I have no words to describe what a fraud he is. I honestly have never, ever encountered anything like this dude. He's the biggest clown and the most intense narcissist.
Damn.
Yeah. Now, she was also in a deposition. And she said, Justin and Jamie freak me out.
Jamie's the other person at Wayfarers or something, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And she had also said something about how much crap, I hate the word crap, that Blake had to take from Justin and Jamie. And she accused them of telling weird lies.
Okay.
Now, there were also claims made by Blake in a court doc that Justin told a female cast member that her leather pants were sexy. I don't know if we exactly know who that was, but the people on Reddit seem to think that that was Jenny Slate.
Okay.
Now, there's another piece of this, and that's Jamila Jamil.
Was she in the movie?
No. But okay. So her texts have now been unsealed because she shares a publicist with Justin.
So, okay.
The publicist is Jennifer Abel, and they were texting about all of this drama. And this was in August of 2024. So this is before the movie came out.
Right.
So they send a lot of TikToks, mostly Jamila. And she was like, She sent, Jamila sent a TikTok, and the person in the TikTok must have said the words nightmare cunt and demon cunt, because Jennifer was like, I want to officially incorporate those terms into my vocabulary.
Okay.
So Jennifer was like, she's doing this to herself about Blake. And mm-hmm. Jamila said, she's a suicide bomber at this point. And Jennifer says, you're not going to believe the latest. So then Jamila replies with a screenshot of an article about Justin's alleged behavior on set. Mm-hmm. And it says that he was chauvinistic and borderline abusive.
Jamila is sharing this screenshot with their shared publicist, right? Her and yes. Justin's publicist.
Yeah, because okay. Jennifer was like, you're not going to believe the latest. So she shared
Got
that.
Got it. Okay.
And Jennifer said, yep, that was reduced down from sexual predator.
So these guys just negotiate adjectives? Is that what a publicist does? That's insane.
So then Jamila says, at least borderline abusive is out there, so she can't go in with predator. Jamila said, why did this People article drop today? I could never do your job, the level of evil I would stoop to. And then she said in all caps, boost. I don't know what she's saying. Then she shares another TikTok.
Oh, boy.
And I tried to look up this TikTok. I can't find it. I typed in the URL. I don't know what it is exactly. Mm-hmm. But Jennifer just laughed a shit ton at it. So then Jamila said, did you see Blake post that survivor's link? Dead. Jennifer said, oh, yes, it's so sick. Jamila said, so cold. Just some stats and a link. Jennifer said, I'm thinking about having Justin share it. Jamila said, ha 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 ha. No, keep him away from her. Keep him silent. Keep him in Sweden. Jennifer just laughed and said, I hate her so much. Jamila said, so much. I've never seen such a bizarre villain act before. She's over. And then she sent another TikTok.
Oh, my God.
But this one, we know what it is. It's like a parody of her, basically, that someone did.
Of Jamila or Blake?
Of Blake.
Okay.
And Jennifer sent back skull emojis, and Jamila said, when you get to parody, it's over. So Jamila posted about this, like, on her Instagram story. She's like, you know, I don't know why I'm being brought into this, blah, 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 blah. And she's been getting, like, DMs from people.
Oh, I'm sure.
And she shared some story that had nothing to do with It Ends With Us. And someone replied, fake feminist ally bullshit. So, so disheartening. And Jamila was like, oh, dude, feminism means fighting for equal rights, not liking every woman who bullies your friends. I fight for the human rights of all the women I dislike just as much as the ones I like. That is feminism. It's a political movement, not some blind, fluffy sisterhood. Pay attention.
She's right.
She is right. So this person's like, well, why are you not condemning everything he did in public? It seems truly sad because I think you do good work. Blah, blah, blah. Jamila said, if I had said it publicly, I would have been fanning the flames. I stayed out of the whole thing because I think they both suck and I don't believe in speculation during an active trial. Mm. I said this privately in jest and it has no bearing on the case whatsoever. And she fought to publish my text for no reason, just to hurt me. That is fanning the flames. And she goes on and she talks about how she like doxed a bunch of small TikTokers, blah, blah, blah.
Jamila did? Oh, Blake did.
Blake how
did.
Blake.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is all about Blake. Jamila doesn't talk about herself for a second.
We have too many pronouns here. It's hard to keep track.
Wow, so you hate pronouns now?
I think we should all be going by it.
But then the clown's going to sue everybody, Pennywise.
Shit. That's a good point.
So that is it right now. There are a lot of people, like I said today, I saw Blake's driver heard some troubling conversation with Justin Baldoni. It's like, I don't care anymore about what everybody heard and said. It's like, I just show me all the texts and emails.
Did you see the email between, I want to say it was Sony executives talking about Justin and like he insinuated the R word rape in an interview and how like problematic that was and they need to shut him down. And people were like, he used the word that it is. It's rape.
Justin used the word?
Yeah, he was like describing the motivation for his character when it there's like the rape scene. Mm-hmm. And the studio, the way they were talking about it was like, this is so problematic. Like he's talking and it's like, do you not know how rapists function?
It's like, why did everyone try so hard to make this movie about fucking domestic violence? Not about domestic, like, what's the problem?
It's like, what did you think when you, I'm sure these execs didn't even read the book, but you know what this book is about. What do you expect? The conversations shouldn't be about flowers. They should be about all of the domestic violence that occurs every fucking day here.
Yeah. So that's it.
Wow. What do you think about all of this?
I don't fucking know. Like I said on Fun Cut Friday, available on Patreon. I truly think just maybe everybody was wrong. Everybody handled everything poorly. These people clearly didn't get along.
Yeah.
And I think it just escalated. But Ryan's involvement is truly fucking annoying to me.
Ryan, I can't believe, I used to really like Ryan Reynolds.
Me too.
And now every time he talks and every time I have to see his stupid smug face, you want to talk about a performative feminist. Ryan Reynolds. Right. He just reeks of that.
Yeah.
And the emails that these people send, what's going on with them? I would hate to be the assistant that has to write emails in Ryan's voice. I'd be using so many thesauruses to find a way to say something so simple. It's like, just get to the fucking point, man.
I just picture his assistant typing it out while he walks around, like, tossing a ball in the air. Like, yeah, and then say this about her tummy bug.
Yeah. Mention that I'm in the studio's mouth. That's funny.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So,
damn. All right. Yeah. Let's get into more drama with Queer Eye. More on-set drama.
Sets are the places to be.
It's true.
To be a fly on the wall. Okay, so the final season of Queer Eye came out last week, which means the Fab Five have been on the promo circuit.
Right.
And one of the stops was CBS Mornings. Mm-hmm. And when the cast arrived on stage for their interview, Karamo Brown wasn't there. Right. And Gail King, began the segment.
Astronaut
Gail King, who moonlights as a anchor on CBS Mornings.
Uh-huh.
She began the segment by reading a statement from him addressing his absence. The statement said, "We received word just in less than an hour ago that Karamo Brown is not going to be joining us today." And then Gail read a statement from Karamo himself, where he apologized for his absence and said he stepped back to protect his mental health. His statement said, "I hope everyone remembers the main theme I have tried to teach them over the past decade, which is to focus on and to protect their mental health / peace from people or a world who seek to destroy it, which is why I can't be there today." So
it's so unhinged to read that in front of the rest of the cast as they're sitting there on TV.
I know, because they didn't realize he wasn't coming.
Oh, really?
Which I'm just like, having, you know, been on morning shows, granted remotely from our own homes, you have like a green room, like there's chit chat. When we go to things, I know we're codependent, but we know if the other one's there or not before we're in front of the cameras. Just saying. So Anthony replied, he said, "Surprise is a fair understatement." And then he went on to say, "Our Queer Eye family, we've been doing this for almost a decade, which is pretty wild to believe. And families are complicated and we're definitely not excluded from that. But I think two things can exist at the same time." And then Jonathan added in, they were proud of, Jonathan goes by they, them. They were proud of Karamo for prioritizing his well-being. Jonathan said, "I'm actually really proud of him. Center what you need. Do the things you need to do to take care of you. I'd be lying if I didn't feel like that sometimes. I think it's really beautiful."
I'm sorry. I got to roll my eyes so fucking hard right now. Because are we all going to pretend like JVN didn't have allegations of being a monster? Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. I don't trust JVN at all.
Same. And I love, this is the interview where they're all holding hands, right? On the couch.
Yeah. They saw Cynthia and Ariana and they were like, "We're going to up this because we have four beats too in every scenario."
They're like, "We are truly holding space for Karamo."
Mm-hmm. So this wasn't the only show that Karamo pulled out of. He also pulled out of Today with Jenna and Chenille. And he wrote that he felt mentally and emotionally abused for years. And he skipped out on the joint interviews because his therapist told him to protect himself and his peace.
Wow.
So the question is, why? Like, what happened to elicit this? Because this is a pretty, I feel like, severe reaction to just not show up, to cancel an interview that's promoting your show that's dropping in, you know, a few days, an hour before.
Like, press has got to be part of your contract.
Exactly. Exactly. And an hour before is just, it's poor form. So there's got to be other stuff going on.
Yeah.
So according to Karamo's assistant, he was worried about being bullied. And this is because, as a source told People, Karamo's mom was on set and overheard Anthony Tan and Jonathan talking shit about him.
Wow.
The source says it wasn't meant to be gossiping or bullying, but it caused a break in Karamo's relationship with them. Hmm. Now, our very trusted, reliable source, the Daily Mail, found a source that has a lot more detail. This is, of course, the Daily Mail, so take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
This source claims Karamo's mom visited the Queer Eye set in D.C., where she was given a pair of production headphones to watch filming. And apparently she overheard the three of them judging Karamo and criticizing some of his life choices. Mm. Per the source, their comments were about how Karamo looked and dressed, but then it turned into complaining about what he tells the subjects on the show. Which is just like, what?
Yeah,
aren't you guys like all supposed to be working together? So, Karamo has unfollowed Anthony Tan and Jonathan on social media. He does still follow Jeremiah. Jeremiah's the one who joined the cast in season 9 once Bobby Burke left.
Right.
And Bobby Burke kind of seems to have left for similar kind of reasons.
Exactly.
Now, reps for the three alleged bullies have not commented on the reason behind the fallout. Mm-hmm. So all we have is, and Karamo has been posting, and also Bobby Burke, maybe it's one of those things where they'll post something and people are like, oh, this is subtweeting or whatever they call it.
Right.
About like mental health and prioritizing yourself, cutting people out of your life and being open to other things. So it's a good thing the season's ending. The show's ending.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I can't believe it went this long, especially because there seems to have been a lot of toxicity.
Yeah.
Going on. I mean, whenever you work with a group of people that long, there's got to be something.
It's also, it's hard because their whole platform is about inclusivity, loving each other, finding the good in the world. And it just, it's one of those things. It's like the people that are the loudest about it tend to be the worst at it.
I know. I know. And like, I don't know, JVN, I hate to keep bringing it back to JVN, but like, that's never going to be out of my brain. I just don't think they're a good person.
They give bully energy. They give I'm better than other people energy. And I don't know. I hope that if there are people who have been personally victimized by JVN, they get together in one of those gyms at school and they all get to speak their truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well,
yeah,
I guess we'll see how this plays out. All right. Come one, come all. It's time for the drama behind the traitors.
Oh, God.
So if anybody is not caught up on the traitors, skip ahead now to the next story, because we are going to talk about people who have been banished and and murdered. Mostly banished.
Damn.
Yeah.
Murder.
So, Ron Funches is on the most recent season. He was banished in the last most recent episode, which is just last week. And they've been really on Ron's ass. Like, so episode 2, he called out a Real Housewife, Portia. Mm-hmm. She's whatever. And she said some really dumb shit, okay? And this is where I get pissed off, because she's in a room and she was like, when we killed Ian. So Ian from Big Brother got killed. He was the first one to be murdered by the traitors. Mm-hmm. And she's like sitting in the room talking to people and she's like, when we murdered Ian. And he's like, oh my God, she said we. She must be a traitor. That must have been a slip. She's a traitor.
Is she a traitor? Was she?
No. So then she said something else similar to that. And someone else heard it. And they were like, oh, my God. Like, so Ron brings this up to Donna Kelsey, who was the secret traitor and is now gone. And Michael Rapaport, who was, like, in the room. He also heard her say this. So they get to the round table and he's like, this is what she said. That seems like something a traitor would say because she said we killed Ian. So everyone's like, OK, this is really great evidence. They vote for Portia as a traitor. She obviously gets the most votes. She goes up there. She's like, I'm a faithful. And they're like, what? And ever since that happened, everyone's like, well, then Ron must be a traitor. Like, we all voted Portia out because of Ron, what Ron said, blah, 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 blah. So now every round table, they're coming after him. They're like, we voted out Portia. It's like, first of all, you guys are on Ron's ass about this. When Portia, maybe if she's going to be on a fucking game show, should be more careful with the stupid shit she says.
Yeah.
Like, that's on her, not Ron. And that pissed me off that they kept fucking saying that. So every time there's a bunch of housewives on the traitors, they all have this, like, unspoken, let's watch out for each other bullshit.
Uh-huh.
And Dorinda Medley, OG New York City cast, Real Housewives mm-hmm. of New York City cast, who was on actually last season, she was killed first and they brought her back for this season.
Yeah.
They kind of went a little tit for tat at the round table. And she's like, you haven't taken any time to get to know any of us. And he's like, quite frankly, I don't give a fuck. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. He said it in a way more kind way. But it was mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm here to play a game and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like the last episode, he's like, you know, I'm being chastised for what I said about Portia. And nobody's calling out these other people who have called out people for being traitors and gotten it wrong. And they went home and everybody's mm-hmm. just like coming after me. So he's been talking a lot about the show, mostly on Threads. Like, I see him posting about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, I guess a lot of fans were speculating that he had some type of developmental condition. Mm. Now, his son is autistic.
Right.
So he posted that he had been diagnosed with autism. He posted this on his Instagram story. And he's like, well, the internet told me I was autistic and was right. You win this round. Still not gay yet. Because I guess there was speculation that he was gay. And then he said, thanks, the Traitors US, for helping me find out more about me through some type of cruel trauma.
Mm.
So his conversations with Dorinda came up. And he was like, her comments hit harder in the wake of like his autism diagnosis. And he said, she said some truly terrible things to me, but since they were deeply personal and outside of gameplay, they were never shown. Just me blowing up at her, quote unquote, out of nowhere. Ooh. So now people are like, what the fuck was she saying? And anybody who watches Housewives, I didn't watch the original New York cast. I've watched some of it, but she was on Ultimate Girls Trip.
Mm-hmm.
And when she gets drunk, she's a nasty, nasty bitch.
So, some of the comments that I've seen have said that she is one of the meanest people they've ever seen on TV. Like people, they're like, Dorinda, like so many comments. One person was like, I love Dorinda. And people were like, fuck you. Everyone was saying that she is so mean.
Well, yeah.
It's interesting.
And it's crazy because on The Traitors, she comes off so nice and like lovable. So we still don't know. She hasn't commented on this yet. But I'm hoping more comes up because they do have a reunion at the end of the season.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that comes up. So that's the first piece of drama. The second is another Real Housewife, Lisa Rinna, former housewife. And she was kind of feuding with Colton Underwood, former bachelor, who has now come out as gay.
Mm-hmm. Stalker, too.
Right. So that's where the drama comes in. So on the last episode, he's been very much like, I think Rinna is a traitor. Mm-hmm.
And he's technically right.
He is right. So he like goes to her and he's like, I'm going to try something. I'm going to tell her, I'm going to say I'm voting out Ron, see if she can work together, keep me safe in the turret, which is where they do their strategizing mm-hmm. or like where they decide who to kill. And I'll keep her safe at the round table. That did not go over well. She was essentially like, go fuck yourself, Colton.
I feel like he didn't even get to his pitch because that was the scene we saw because I watched it with Brooke on Friday. And I feel like that I was like, none of that seemed to get across in this exchange.
So then he like goes at her at the round table and he's like, I think you're a traitor, blah, 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 blah. She's like, nah, I think you're a fucking traitor. And because he was like, He was like, from what I know about you as a housewife, I'm not seeing that side of you on the traitors. You seem very quiet and subdued, which is making him think that she's mm-hmm. a traitor. And he's right.
Interesting.
So they like go at it or whatever at the round table. And then somebody posted a picture, a meme of Rinna from Real Housewives, where she asks somebody if they were doing coke in their bathroom. So above it, they said, this is who Colton thinks he's slick up against. Good luck, buddy. And Rinna commented, let's talk about you being a stalker, like in quotes,
uh-huh.
as if to like mimic the Real Housewives scene.
Uh-huh.
And like Arisha alluded to, he did stalk his ex from The Bachelor. And like, that was not good. A lot of people are like, why is he on TV again? Why are you allowing this man on TV after how he acted the last time? So after Rinna posted this, she spoke out. She said, it has come to my attention that my post that I responded to in my housewife mode is taking on a life of its own, and it's causing real problems for Colton. I do not want this because Colton and I are great. He was a great and is a great nemesis for me on the show in the game. Now, as you know, if you asked me to be a housewife, I'll bring it to you, right? That's what I was doing, all in the name of the game. She's like, we had so much fun. I've only always had a great time with him. So please, guys, be gentle. It's a game. It's a TV show. We're all doing the best we can. Don't send death threats or do anything to jeopardize somebody's family. We had so much fun doing it. It was really hard. So everyone take a deep breath and just know that everything is great. It's a game. So I saw a post on Reddit. So take this with a grain of salt. Someone said his PR person is contacting all news outlets that covered the story about Lisa calling him a stalker, insisting they update their coverage with her IG story apology. I can't give too much detail into how I know this without doxing myself, but I've seen the emails.
Okay. It's Colton.
Yeah, he's like, I can't. I've seen the emails as I was typing them out.
As I was writing them, yep.
So then the traitors had to release a statement.
Oh, my God.
And they said, they released this on their Instagram. They said, we're committed to making our cast feel safe, respected, and supported on screen and off. The cast of the traitors are real people, and what happens in the game should never lead to cyberbullying or harassment. There's a difference between discussing a show and targeting individuals. Let's not ruin the passion for this show with unwarranted negativity and personal attacks. We appreciate your support. So.
I will never understand how hearing what someone does elicits the response of a death threat.
I know. And that's like the biggest thing about going on one of these shows. That's the biggest thing for me because, like I said on Fun Cut Friday, I have applied to be on the next season of The Traitors.
Oh, God. You better not say that in your interview. They're going to be like, stop it.
Stop what?
Saying it traitors.
Traitors. I said it in my audition, Dave. They're going to love it. But like, that's the thing. And I don't know, because when I talked about like wanting to go on Big Brother in the past, my mom's like, no, it's going to piss me off. I'm going to watch live feeds. People are going to talk shit about you. And you even said it while we were watching The Traitors. You're like, I'd be so nervous for like.
I know.
But it's the watchers that are the scariest part, because they really get serious, you know?
Oh, yeah.
With like.
Psychotically so.
Yeah. So that's like the biggest thing.
Death threats is just insane.
I know.
It's like. Send them a message that's like, I'm mad at you, but then that's it.
Right.
Threatening to take their life. Come on.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
Yeah. Somebody you don't even know. It's just insane behavior.
I know. I'm actually really excited, though, because this week's episode is the one that Alan Cummings has been talking about, where he said, the craziest thing he's ever seen happen on the show happens this episode. So I'm, like,
it
pumped.
Better not be like The Bachelor, where every fucking season they're like, this has never before happened in Bachelor history, and it's somebody tripping. It's like, yeah, it has.
On acid.
Now that I would tune in for.
That I would also tune in for. But no, Alan isn't like that. They don't do that shit. So I'm taking it seriously.
Okay. This is serious business, TM.
Serious. So yeah. So that's the traitors drama.
Okay. Well,
justice for Ron.
he seems very sweet, and that's why it's like I could never go on a show like that, because I have two modes: psychotic and like overly empathetic, and those are not good modes to have in this kind of game or life, really.
Right. Yeah. But it's a hard game to play because you really have to play the middle. Like, you got it. You can't be too crazy and you can't be too silent. And you got to really watch what you say because those people will take every single fucking word out of your mouth.
Literally.
And twist it. Yeah.
Did they ever, did Portia ever say why she kept talking like that then?
I don't know.
Dummies. Okay.
Yeah. Just like idiot behavior.
Yeah. Speaking of idiot behavior.
Oh, no.
More the reaction of the public to somebody is the idiot behavior.
Okay.
So we got to talk about Meghan Trainor.
Yeah.
She and her husband, Daryl Sabara, a.k.a. Spy Kid Boy, as I call him. SKB.
Uh-huh.
Which might be a serial killer initials.
SKB?
BT. BKS. Or whatever. I don't know, but whatever. Spy Kid Boy and Meghan Trainor welcomed their third child, a baby girl named Mikey Moon Trainor, via surrogate on January 18th.
Uh-huh.
So normally somebody announces they have a baby, everyone loses their minds.
Yep.
But the internet had a lot of thoughts about their choice to use a surrogate.
Uh-huh.
Now, I did not know this. But I guess some people think of surrogacy as exploitative and or unethical.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, and kind of like reading into that, they're like, it takes advantage of people who might need money to like rent out their uterus. And it like, it's usually like a power dynamic when you're like paying somebody.
Right.
I've always seen it as a wonderful way to help somebody bring in a person into the world that they want to have. It's, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I can see why people look at it that way.
Yeah. But I mean, also they're choosing for themselves to do it. It's not like.
Right. Well, and that's what people are saying. It's like you need $20,000 because you're basically destitute. Which means in this country, you're earning $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
But it's like you are in a position where it's like you can't really say no because you need this money. Right. But also they have agency. They can say no.
Well, and literally you sign up to be a surrogate. It's not like Meghan Trainor walks up to you on the street with a gun and is like, listen, I know you need money. You're going to carry my fucking baby. It's like they go through channels. It's not like.
That's what I thought, but that's what happened.
She went up to
Meghan Trainor went up to somebody with a gun and said, I need your uterus. Give it to me. And the person was like, okay.
Uterus jacking.
Yeah, uterus jacking.
Wow.
Just taking this nation by storm. So now a lot of people made assumptions, if you can believe it, about why Meghan and Daryl went the surrogacy route.
Yeah.
Vanity being the number one reason, especially with all the conversations around Meghan and using GLP-1s.
Right.
So Meghan actually talked about her choice in an interview with People because there was so much backlash.
Yeah.
And she says, it wasn't our first choice, but we had endless conversations with our doctors on this journey, and this was the safest way for us to be able to continue growing our family. Which, here's the thing, and I'm not a Meghan Trainor stan by any stretch of the imagination, but when we're vilifying people for making choices of what to do for their bodies when we're taught, I mean, this is like a health thing. It's like, we don't know what their story is. It's not our business.
Yeah.
The surrogate agreed, not under duress as far as we're certain. And Meghan and Spy Kids Boy agreed. Like, this is adults agreeing to go through this process. And it's just weird that so many people made all of these terrible comments and had so much negativity about it when it's like, you don't know their story. Maybe she can't carry, and maybe she, like, there's so many other reasons that we can't and don't need to know that it's like, why are you even commenting on this?
It's like, once they unchained her and let her out of the basement, she was happy to carry that baby.
Yes, she loved to.
How old is Meghan Trainor? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't. She's in her 30s. That's all.
Because I mean, like, once you hit 30, you're a geriatric for pregnancy, apparently. So it's like,
yeah, senior citizen pregnancy. I will say, though, Meghan has talked openly about the complications that she faced before, during, and after her first two pregnancies.
Yeah.
Her therapist actually diagnosed her with PTSD after her first kid, Riley, didn't wake up during his birth in 2021.
Oh, God.
Leading to him being put in the NICU. She also shared that she reached a breaking point after welcoming her second child. So it sounds like at the very minimum, there's a lot of mental health stuff, and that's serious stuff. And I get not wanting to go through that again. Like postpartum depression, PTSD, those are serious things. I don't know. It's just one of those things where let people do what they want to do with their bodies and other people's bodies.
Yeah. And also pregnancy is very dangerous for your body. Like it takes a huge toll on your body, whether you're a geriatric or not. Like
I went to a museum in Chicago over New Year's and they had like a human exhibit. And one of the things was pregnancy. And I've seen this video before when a baby's growing and like what happens to all of your organs.
Yeah.
They just get pushed around and shoved and squished. And it's just, it's not for the faint of heart.
No. That's a big reason. I mean, aside from not wanting the responsibility of a child and bringing a child into this fucking world right now, mm-hmm. I don't want that danger in my body.
It's so funny because it's the one thing I kind of want to do.
Just to see
what it's like.
You could be a surrogate.
Well, I've told my friends and I told my brother, I was like, if you guys ever want a kid, they don't want kids, so I'm out. And they're not going to let a fucking geriatric surrogate. They'll be like, no, we need somebody in their 20s, you old fuck. So there goes my life dream.
Well, that's I didn't want to tell you this, but they actually reached out to me and they were like, would you be our surrogate? They're like, don't tell Arisha, just wear really loose clothing every time you see her.
And have a pillow in front of you and carry a potted plant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of people who shouldn't have kids.
Oh, God.
Redacted West has been just truly off the fucking rails for a while now.
That's might be the biggest understatement you have ever said.
That includes rampant anti-Semitism. Yeah. He went on the far right talk show InfoWars in 2022 and said people should stop dissing the Nazis. He was suspended from Twitter for posting anti-Semitic statements. And he also posted a picture that I guess appeared to show a Star of David with a swastika inside of it. And then he praised Hitler. But don't panic. He did get his account back from fellow Nazi Elon Musk about 8 months later. So that's okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
You got to watch out for your own.
Yeah. Now, after all of this, a bunch of brands cut ties with him, including Gap, Adidas, Balenciaga. Now, in 2023, after this, he announced that he had a change of heart and he was no longer an anti-Semite after seeing Jonah Hill in 21 Jump Street. He said that performance made him like Jewish people again. And I mean, I agree. I love that movie. But like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That is truly an absurd thing to say.
Jonah Hill could save the world, I guess.
And Jonah Hill...
Have they tried showing that movie at Proud Boys rallies? That could really do some good. So then in December of that same year, 2023, he apologized again. And on Instagram, he wrote, I very much regret any pain I may have caused. And he wrote that in Hebrew.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. But then last year... He said he was a Nazi and that he loved Hitler, and he started selling swastika t-shirts on his website. And he also attempted to release a track titled Heil Hitler. Is it Hail? Heil? Hail? I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. Thank God.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And I never want to.
But then he apologized again on Twitter and said...
He rewatched 21 Jump Street.
Yeah. He watched 22 Jump Street. He watched the sequel. He's like, you know what? I'm so sorry again, you guys. But on Twitter, he said, I'm done with anti-Semitism. Like it's smoking cigarettes or something.
I'm quitting.
It's like, what?
I got my pro-Semitism patches. I'm going to talk to my sponsor.
Yeah.
Whenever I feel like dipping my toe back into being an absolute fucking bigot.
Cool. So at the time, he blamed all of this on his divorce from Kim Kardashian and then the custody battle with his kids for his kids. But now... We're getting a brand new apology. So on Monday, he took out a full page ad in the Wall Street Journal to apologize again. Now, it is long, so I'm just going to read the sections that kind of like stuck out to me.
Okay.
So he titled it To Those I've Hurt. He said, 25 years ago, I was in a car accident that broke my jaw and caused injury to the right frontal lobe of my brain. At the time, the focus was on the visible damage, the fracture, the swelling, and the immediate physical trauma. The deeper injury, the one inside my skull, went unnoticed. Comprehensive scans were not done, neurological exams were limited, and the possibility of a frontal lobe injury was never raised. It wasn't properly diagnosed until 2023. That medical oversight caused serious damage to my mental health and led to my bipolar type 1 diagnosis. I lost touch with reality. Things got worse the longer I ignored the problem. I said and did things I deeply regret. In that fractured state, I gravitated toward the most destructive symbol I could find, the swastika, and even sold t-shirts bearing it. I regret and am deeply mortified by my actions in that state and am committed to accountability, treatment, and meaningful change. It does not excuse what I did, though. I am not a Nazi or an anti-Semite. I love Jewish people. To the Black community, which held me down through all of the highs and lows and the darkest of times, the Black community is unquestionably the foundation of who I am. I am so sorry to have let you down. I love us. In early 2025, I fell into a four-month-long manic episode of psychotic, paranoid, and impulsive behavior that destroyed my life. As the situation became increasingly unsustainable, there were times I didn't want to be here anymore. Having bipolar disorder is a notable state of constant mental illness. When you are not in an episode, you are completely, quote-unquote, normal. And that's when the wreckage from the illness hits the hardest. Hitting rock bottom a few months ago, my wife encouraged me to finally get help. I have found comfort in Reddit forums, of all places. Different people speak of being in manic or depressive episodes of a similar nature. It's not just me who ruins their entire life once a year, despite taking meds every day and being told by the so-called best doctors in the world that I am not bipolar, but merely experiencing symptoms of autism. My words as a leader in my community have global impact and influence. In my mania, I lost complete sight of that. As I find my new baseline and new center through an effective regime? Wouldn't it be regimen?
Probably.
It says regime.
He would say regime. She's still thinking Nazis.
Okay, well, regime of medication, therapy, exercise, and clean living, I have newfound much-needed clarity. I am pouring my energy into positive, meaningful art, music, clothing, design, and other new ideas to help the world. I'm not asking for sympathy or a free pass, though I aspire to earn your forgiveness. I write today simply to ask for your patience and understanding as I find my way home. With love, yay.
Wait, was that the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, there are parts I left out about, like, bipolar one. These are just, like...
Okay.
But that was the end of it. I'll give you some of the internet thoughts, and then I'll get your thoughts.
Okay.
Okay, so some of the comments against him, I guess, were like, isn't this like the third time, LOL? Someone else said his new album comes out in 4 days, promotion time, which is probably important to note. Mm-hmm. Someone else said, nah, that's Kanye West.
Okay.
Someone else said, I've never heard of a brain injury causing anti-Semitism before.
No, but Tylenol does cause autism, so...
Right. Yeah.
Anything can be true now.
So true. So one person said, as a Jewish person and someone who has had a manic psychotic episode before, I easily accept this apology. I'm glad he's spreading awareness about the illness. I do wish he spoke a little more to how his words may have impacted people and especially how they may have empowered the wrong people. But I also doubt people would read the whole thing. LOL. Well, that's where this podcast comes in. I read a good majority of it. But I don't know. What do you think about this apology?
Come on.
I mean, yeah.
I know a fair amount of people who have bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. And not a single one of them has ever been pro-Nazi.
Yeah.
So I will... Obviously, mental health is something I care deeply about, and I understand how I'm aware of how challenging it can be to live with bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. And I would love to believe that this is it for him. Like, he's really gotten things sorted out. But I don't have the funds anymore for all the clown makeup.
Yeah.
So and it is interesting that he's saying he has bipolar disorder, but then he's saying his doctors are saying he doesn't and that he just has autism, which I know a lot of brain diagnoses can go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm not a doctor, but it just seems to me, knowing that he has an album coming out, the little bit of the kernel of faith I wanted to have that maybe something positive is going to come from this went away. I was like, nope, it's all down to making money.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's true. We've seen how many apologies and then him just go right back into it. And I mean, obviously it's easy to say, well, bipolar one doesn't cause anti-Semitism, but it does cause manic episodes. And you do say some crazy ass shit. And this is the thing right. He's latched onto for some reason.
It's just weird that his crazy ass shit is racism and bigotry. It's like,
yeah,
most people's crazy ass shit is they have, you know, unsafe sex or...
Wow.
Like, that's a pretty common one. Maybe it's just among women. I don't know. But I just, it feels like it's a lot of words that mean nothing if there's not an action with it.
Right.
And it's one of those things where we can't know until the rest of the world plays out.
I know. Well, here's one thing I'll say, and I can't believe I'm playing devil's advocate in any way for Redacted West. But this apology, unlike the others, has actually acknowledged his mental health.
Mm-hmm, true.
And has listed steps that he is going to take for his mental health and treatments that he is going to take seriously, it seems now. Whereas the other ones were just like, I mean, in the past, he's denied having bipolar disorder.
Right.
He's said it was all autism. He's very much been like, oh, it's just whatever. Like, you guys are all fucking crazy, basically. So it's like he is acknowledging it for the first time. And that gives me some hope. But I do agree with you that we do have to see that his actions back this apology. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. In the context of if he was like, if you were in a relationship with him and this was his behavior. And it's like they just keep coming back with a different story.
Yeah.
I'm not going to believe it until something actually changes fundamentally.
Right.
And yeah, this seems like I thought I was interested in what he was saying. A lot of it made sense in terms of to explain his behavior, but it's still his behavior.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're still responsible for the things that you're saying and doing.
Yeah.
Even if you are suffering from a mental health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just seems it's like, okay, I guess we'll see. But to go to the extremes that he has gone to promote such horrific ideals, it's just, it's going to take more than a paid ad in the Wall Street Journal to, you know, but we'll see.
But it's full page.
Oh, shit. I forgot.
Does that change anything?
Yeah. That changes everything. I love him. I'm going to stream his newest album right now.
Good. I can't wait for more tracks from Northie.
Oh, God, I can.
I want more piercings and tats.
You know what I can not actually wait to stream?
Hilary Duff's new album.
Hilary Duff's new album.
Segue.
So, Hilary Duff, she's tapping back into that music biz.
Yeah.
Last Monday, she performed in London, where she debuted three previously unheard songs from her upcoming album, including a song called We Don't Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one everyone's talking about because it appears to address an alleged rift with her sister, Haley.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, so Haley and Hillary have not been photographed in public together since 2019.
Mm.
Therefore,
they hate each other. Yeah.
There's no other way to interpret it. They also don't appear to interact with each other on social media, and there have long been rumors of rifts between them. Now, speculation as to what caused the rift has varied, ranges from political differences to Hillary's husband, Matt, not liking Haley or Haley's fiance. But Hillary's song, We Don't Talk, really does seem to be about their relationship. I'll tell you some of the lyrics. You tell me if you think it does. Lyrics include, don't know when it happened, not even sure what it was about. Because we come from the same home, same blood. People ask me how you're doing. I want to say amazing. But the truth is that I don't know. What I always end up saying is how. We don't talk. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about anything anymore. And Bruno's like, excuse me?
Oh, Bruno, you mean like we don't talk about Bruno? No.
Yeah, I can't get the tune in my head right now for some reason.
At first, I thought you were talking about Bruno Mars, and I was like, does Bruno Mars have a song about not talking? And now I'm realizing you mean the Disney character.
Yeah. So then during the second verse of the song, Hillary alludes to a kind of rivalry, she sings. And if it's because you're jealous, God knows I would sell it all, then break you off the bigger half.
Wow.
And then Hillary opens up about the idea of trying to work out their alleged issues. She sings, let's have it out. I'll hear you out. You'll hear me out on the couch. Get back to how we were as kids. Let's break it down. So sick of being so sad about how we don't talk and you won't talk about it.
I mean, that's very obviously about her sister.
Yeah. Either that or Miranda from Lizzie McGuire.
Miranda? Or Gordo.
Or Gordo, yeah.
I love that show.
I know. That should be a show we watch.
It should be a show we watch. Yeah, I don't know. This is crazy. Well, I kept seeing headlines. I don't know if you saw this in your travels when researching this story about how Hayley Duff weighed in on the Ashley Tisdale mom group drama.
Yeah, she liked a comment. Oh, God. On Ashley's post, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
So they were like, well, she hates her sister and wants her dead. She's sending death threats. Just like those randos on Traders.
Also, though, that is fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, and people are like, oh, who cares? It's just a like. It's just this. No, stop. This is the age we live in. It's a digital age. The things you do on Instagram sometimes do send a message. Sometimes they're stupid.
They are sending a message. Yeah.
But
I have always had, and I fully blame the media and how, like, culturally women have been portrayed. And also I blame it on Oat Boats from Full House. Where I've always thought Haley was jealous of Hillary and her success because she's the younger sister. She's the Stephanie going in on DJ's auditions and then getting the fucking lead. Not that that's how it happened, but I always have thought that Haley envied Hillary. Possibly because I would have in that situation.
Yeah.
And obviously this is just wildly speculative on my part, but I've never been a huge Hayley Duff fan.
Same.
I obviously don't align with her politics.
I don't know anything about her politics.
Should keep it that way.
Is she like open about them?
Not like open, but open enough.
Yeah. I mean, ever since she was rude to Napoleon and Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite, she's been dead to me. So... How dare she? But I really, she's one of those people I don't really know anything about other than like she's around and she's Hillary's sister.
Yeah.
Who has less success, you know?
Right. Exactly.
So.
But still success. It's one of those things where I would hope that, because I feel like as I've gotten older, perspectives shift. And I would hope that that has happened. Doesn't sound like it has, but would have happened for these two, for Haley at least.
Well, I'm sure Hillary singing a very public song about it, making it news, is going to help.
Haley's like, you're going to sing about it? I'm going to like this status.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see who comes out on top now, bitch.
Wow. Well, that's it for today, guys.
Yeah.
As always, follow us on Patreon if you want to hear Fun Cut Friday, the Burn Book, sleepover videos. Those are everything we do is getting more and more unhinged somehow as the time goes on. And that's on us.
Yeah, catch us before we're 5150.
Exactly.
It's going to happen any day now.
Yeah. Follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Arisha Skidmore Williams and at Brooke Sifrin. The podcast is at Almost Famous Pod. Like, subscribe. We saw a review about how this show isn't as funny as Even the Rich, and that's really stuck in my brain.
Oh, no.
Because this is a completely different show than Even the Rich. Like, hello. Whatever.
Also, I'm curious about the what was so funny there that's not translating here.
Yeah, I don't know. Our actual personalities, I guess, aren't as funny.
Damn.
Because we didn't really get to show those as much. But anyway, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. As always, tell your friends and we will see you next week.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye.